In what blood is the power residing? As I think about the Jewish religion, and as I think about that root from which we spring and are today, the Christian religion, I realize that both as a center point and the very middle common ground, they all speak of blood. This morning I want us to explore and hopefully answer why there is power in the blood. We learn in the book of Genesis that two men, the descendants of Adam and Eve, features two sons, Cain and Abel. And the Bible tells us that in the very beginning that bloodshed was a part of faithful worship. Genesis 4 and 4 tells us, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of fat, that is, the richest parts thereof, and he offered these to God. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And then as we look at the Mosaic system of worship and service to Jehovah God, we learn that there was a shedding of blood. But the blood that was shed was animal blood. We have so many offerings, at least seven of them in the Old Testament, that speak of offering. They are offerings to God. And nearly all of these offerings have to do with the shedding of blood. If there was some way that we could, with some container and some accuracy, measure all the blood that flowed from the beginning of the Mosaic system until Christ died on the cross, there would be hundreds of thousands and millions and trillions and billions gallons of blood that had been shed and poured upon the ground. But we understand that this blood was only figurative, that it had no efficacious power. That is, there was no power in it. The only power that was in it was in that which it figured, or in that which it typified. And when all was said and done and all the blood had been shed from Adam till Jesus, Paul wrote in Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Again, we see bloodshed, but there was no power in the blood. These were simply the shed blood of animals, but there was no washing away of sin in the animal blood that was shed. Even today, in our worship services, there is a memorial supper called the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper. And in it, he gave us a memorial using the fruit of the vine or grape juice as a symbol or token of his shed blood. So we have not escaped, nor have we grown so mightily in our intellect that we can deny that there is not an important facet of our worship that does not point to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm amused at those who think that the grape juice has power in it. And there are those who believe that it is powerful to, in some way, satisfy God as to the remission of our sins. But I would feel silly, and I think you would too, if we sang a hymn, "There's a Power in Grape Juice." We don't sing that hymn, because there is no power in the grape juice and there is no power in animal blood. But then we might stop and think, what about human blood? We could understand that the shedding of animal blood would not wash away or in some way help us to become righteous in the sight of God. And I'm sure that there were people who thought this, that this blood of the ox, this blood of the lamb, this blood of the sheep, this blood of bulls and goats, it's not going to wash away our sins. But when we look at our pagan brethren whom we were to remove from our midst as we moved into the land of Canaan, they seem to be doing well. We seem to be the ones who from time to time have the wrath of God come upon us. So our animal blood isn't really working, because they seem to be doing as well as we're doing, and they offer something more powerful than animal blood. They offer the blood of their children. And we talked about this, Brother Matt did, in our worship services this last Wednesday. And as we heard him explain, this has to be the act of last resort. In Psalm 106, it's very plain that something happened that caused them to have some belief that this blood sacrifice, it's animal, it's not working. And so we read in verses 34, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works." And that's why I say that these Jewish people were looking at the blood of animals and saying, it's not working. That's not, God wants more. God wants something that we treasure more than a goat or a sheep or a bull. "And they served their idols," that is the idols of the pagans, "which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils." Now here's something you need to catch in verse 38. "And they shed innocent blood." Innocent blood. Not blood of sinners, so-called. Not the blood of murderers. Not the blood of evil criminals. Not the blood of the elderly who have their lives stained with sin. But innocent blood, the blood of innocent children, that surely will in some way cause in God a desire to accept us and believe in us. "They sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with the blood." It was a pollutant. It was not a saving sacrament. Just a pollutant. That's a strong word. The blood of the children polluted the land. It did not make them right in the sight of God. "Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions." Shed innocent blood. Now, if animal blood didn't work, if human blood didn't work, then what can wash away my sins?
Hymn number 212.